I have a question for you. When was the last time you had a conversation about God? For most people, the answer to that question is not very often. Spiritual conversations are exceedingly rare for most Americans, and even for Christians, who are at best reluctant to have them. Now, those are not my words. If you notice, they're in quotes. Those are the words opening a report last year by Barna Research, an organization that surveys and reports on religious beliefs, practices, and trends in America. The report asked Christians if they agreed or disagreed with this statement. Every Christian has the responsibility to share their faith. What do you think? Would you agree or disagree with that statement? Back in 1993, 9 out of 10 Christians who had shared their faith agreed, 89%. But in 2018, only 64% agreed with that statement. That's a 25-point drop in 25 years. How about you? Do you sense an obligation to tell people about Jesus? Would you like to, but you're afraid? Or is it the last thing on your mind? Faith in Jesus is increasingly seen as a private matter. We fear rejection. We fear looking weird. Above all, we don't want to be seen as shoving something down someone's throat. We don't want to be seen as a fanatic. We assume most people are not interested anyway. And so, why bother turning them off with awkward conversations? It's just better to show our faith by our deeds. Today, we're asking, can I stay in the closet? And if you're hoping that you can, I can relate. You know, even as a pastor for many years, decades now, I have to admit, I so often feel safer in the cozy, comfy closet. Today's message is part 3 in our series, Beyond Belief. It's a series asking, is believing in Jesus enough? Enough to be saved? Enough to live the Christian life? Or is there something else? Is there something more than just accepting Jesus into your heart? Today, do I have to go public? Is there life outside the closet? We're looking this morning at 3 reasons why coming out of the closet is worth it. The first is point number 1 there on your outline. The first reason why coming out of the closet is worth the trouble. It's a sacrifice that pleases God. I invite you to jump into a time machine with me, to go back in time over 2,000 years ago, before the time of Jesus, to Old Testament times. You're one of God's people. You're an Israelite. And as such, you are required to bring sacrifices to the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem at least 3 times a year at the big festivals. It's costly to you. At harvest time, you offer the Lord your first fruits, the first crop of your harvest. You have to offer a sheep or a goat or a bull for your sins, to atone for your sins. These are valuable items for you. They represent your hard-earned income. Your animal sacrifice has to be from the best of your flock. It can't be just an old or sickly animal that's just about to die anyway. No. To put it in today's terms, at every one of these three yearly festivals, you offer up your newest laptop, your newest iPhone, your iPad, your big screen TV, or even tougher, your new puppy. We've got to think about it in the same terms that they did. This is a sacrifice. It's what the law of Moses, given by God, requires of you. And yet, as a faithful Israelite, you do it gladly because you love the Lord. It's why we call it a sacrifice. But today, in the new era, the time since Jesus, all blood sacrifices for sin are obsolete. Why? Because Jesus, by his death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection from the dead, has made the once-for-all sacrifice. Once you become a Jesus follower, his payment for your sins is applied to you, and your sins are forgiven. You become a child of God, an heir of eternal life. Later today, we're going to remember Jesus' sacrifice for our sins in what we call the Lord's Supper. That's the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of the juice that represent his body and his blood. But does this mean we're totally done offering sacrifices? Actually, no. This side of the cross, we're still obliged to offer sacrifices. Let's read about it in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. And please help me when we get to the yellow print. Help me read out loud. It says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise," help me, "the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." Post-cross, this is our sacrifice. It's not the fruit of your pear tree. It's not an animal from your yard. It's not your big screen TV. It's not your puppy. It's the fruit of your lips when you openly profess his name in praise. Now, this is not mere lip service. No. This is your lips offering service sincerely to the Lord. And notice that this sacrifice is to be offered continually to him. 24/7. It doesn't end. You don't just do it once and you're done. You keep doing it. Well, how do we apply this? Well, what an example is what we just finished doing a few moments ago, our time of praise when we openly profess Jesus' name. When you sing to him, when you clap your hands, or raise your arms in worship. And if you do it from the heart, this is a sacrifice. It pleases God. It's the fruit of your lips. You say, "But Randy, I don't like singing. I don't have a good singing voice. I'm not into that." Or, "I come to hear the sermon." Or, "I like to talk with my friends out in the lobby during that time. This is the warm-up band, isn't it?" No. Or, "I like to arrive a little late, you know, kind of make an entrance sort of a thing." But folks, this is not about us. It's not about what we like. This is about the Lord. It's a sacrifice. It pleases Him, and we do it because we love Him. You know, on Sundays when I have a headache or I'm just not feeling very energetic, maybe I'm kind of tired or feeling blue, or maybe somebody just had a difficult conversation with me before the service, I may not feel like praising the Lord out loud, much less clapping my hands, much less raising my arms. And on those days, I say to the Lord, I'm not feeling this. I'm just not into this emotionally. But my body isn't cooperating. But Lord, because I love you, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway just because I know it pleases you. And I'm going to try to do it as much as I can from the heart. You know, when I do that, the Lord is actually more pleased than when I'm totally into it emotionally, when I am just brimming with joy at the prospect of praising the Lord. Why? Because in this case, it's more of a sacrifice, you see. It pleases God. But it's not just in a church service. You can openly profess God's praise when you're at home, at work, at school, thanking God for an answer to prayer, for example, or the sunshine outside, which we haven't seen a whole lot of this week, right? Or some other blessing that you've experienced. You say, but that might be kind of awkward, you know, if somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus is around. Well, deal with it, all right? Deal with it. Of course, you should use good sense. You don't want to be obnoxious. We're not called to be troublemakers. But remember, this is a sacrifice. I constantly seek opportunities to speak with people about the Lord, even strangers, maybe a cashier or a waiter finishing up, or a hairstylist, or maybe the receptionist at the doctor's office. I always have in my wallet these invite cards. You can get them out there at our welcome center to invite people to Stony Creek Church. And when I get into a conversation about the Lord and about our church, I pull this out and I invite them. I would encourage you to grab a few and just have them on hand. Have them in your wallet or your purse so you can use them to invite people. It just has Stony Creek on the front, and on the back there's some information there about coming to the church. Very often, if it's just a real quick encounter, I'll say, God bless you, when I'm finishing up with the waiter or the receptionist. Sometimes in response, they'll say, thanks, God bless you too. Others might look surprised or just say nothing. When that happens, I remember that I'm not doing this to please myself. I'm doing this to please the Lord. Other times I get into good conversations with people about Jesus. This is a sacrifice. It pleases the Lord. Let's look at the second reason why coming out is worth the trouble. Number two on your outline. It's a sign that you're saved. When your microwave is done cooking, you know it because you hear the beep, right? When your tea kettle is boiling, the water in there is boiling, you know it because you hear the whistle, right? Likewise, when somebody becomes a Jesus follower, you know it because you hear a confession. What's the confession? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. In its original setting, Paul is alluding to a new Christ follower getting baptized. That's when this confession would take place. When a person gets baptized, he or she confesses allegiance to Jesus as their resurrected Lord. The words, Jesus is Lord, form the earliest creed of the Christian church. In context, Paul is talking about Lord, not just in the sense of Jesus as a master, like as a rabbi or a great teacher. No, here Lord means Lord God, Yahweh, God's personal name in the Old Testament. The confession here is that Jesus is your Lord and God. He's the master not only of your life, but of the universe. Now let's jump into our time machine once again. This time we go back to the era of the apostles, just shortly after Jesus rose and ascended into heaven. You've been attending Stony Creek Church of Jerusalem, all right? And today you have decided that you want to become a Christ follower. You've been listening to your Christian friends who've been telling you about Jesus. You've come and you've listened to me speak a few times, and you've become convinced that Jesus really is the Lord. He is the Savior of the world. You've become convinced that he died for your sins and that he arose from the dead. And you want to become his follower. And so you come up to me and you say, I've heard what you've said. I'm convinced. I want to be a follower. What do I do? I say, that's wonderful. That's terrific. Maybe I ask you a few more questions to see if you're understanding things properly. And since you are, since I made it so clear to you in my sermon, you say yes, and I say, well, that's great. Let's go down over to the pool of Siloam and get you baptized so you can confess this. You can go public with your declaration. Now, of course, that could be dangerous for you. Coming out for Jesus could mean your family disowns you. Your neighbors might disown you. But coming out is what it means to be a Jesus follower. You know, here in our country, maybe you will face a little embarrassment, or somebody might defriend you or give you a dirty look or something. But all over the world, in Muslim countries, people are getting baptized. Muslims are coming to Jesus, and they get baptized at great risk. Risk of losing their job, or worse, losing their lives or their family. You see, your first step, if you want to become a Jesus follower, is to go public with your declaration that Jesus is your resurrected Lord. Baptism is the coming out party of the Jesus follower. It's like the swearing-in ceremony of a new police officer. It's saying, now it's official. I'm going public. I'm a follower of Jesus. I've given my life to him. I'm depending on him. My old life is behind me. My new life is in Jesus. It's a sign that you're saved. But it doesn't end there. No, that's just the beginning. The first step of baptism is meant to characterize the rest of your Christian life. It doesn't mean that you become obnoxious or you try to shove Jesus down people's throats, but it does mean that you are out. You are out of the closet. You live Jesus by showing God's love to people with kindness, your deeds. Your deeds speak very, very loudly, but it's not just your deeds. You talk freely about Him whenever you see the opportunity, maybe to share your story about how Jesus transformed you, or to share the message of salvation, the good news of Jesus. Pretty soon, just a little later in this service, we're going to see two people do that swearing-in ceremony, giving their allegiance to Jesus. Have you had your coming out party? Have you been baptized? Are you wearing Jesus on your sleeve? Let's look at the third reason why coming out is worth the trouble. Number three on your outline. It will matter at the final judgment. It's going to matter. I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't admit that some of the things that Jesus said were pretty scary. And since we're all here gathered to learn about following Jesus, I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I just taught the comforting words that Jesus spoke and ignored the scary ones. Well, here's one of the scary sayings of Jesus that always makes me shiver when I read it. Let's look at it. It's found in Matthew chapter 10, verses, should say, I think 32 through 33. He says, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Help me. "But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." That's a scary one. I can't imagine the horror of standing before God Almighty one day and Jesus looking over at me and saying about me, "Father, I don't know this guy." Yikes. Jesus is saying, if you refuse to come out for me here, I'm not coming out for you hereafter at the final judgment. I'll speak up for you if you speak up for me. Now, Jesus is not talking here about a momentary lapse when you fail to pipe up in public for Him. That happens to me more often than I care to admit. Jesus is talking here about a lifestyle of denying Him publicly. Even the Apostle Peter denied Jesus under pressure. But of course, he repented and later became very open, very public in his defense and proclamation of Jesus, even gave his life for Jesus. Just imagine for a moment that you're married to someone who never wants to be seen with you in public. I see some spouses looking at each other. Your spouse refuses to wear a wedding ring. When you're out in public, he or she acts like you're a stranger, like you don't know each other. Now, of course, there's a place for expressions of love and affection, but they can only be exchanged in private. In public, you have to wear a bag over your head. How would that work for your relationship? Would that be a good marriage? Would you feel loved or rejected and humiliated? Sadly, too many Christians treat Jesus this way. Never in public. They're incognito Christians. And this is what Jesus is getting at here in this passage that we just read, this scary text. It's not an angry threat. No, he's saying, if you say, I do, to me, then realize we're going everywhere together, public or private. Saving you is not just a matter of getting you a good fire insurance policy for the hereafter. It's about a relationship in the here and now. Think about it. Jesus died in public for you, hanging in public, naked on a cross, giving his life for you. Now, we are called to go public for him. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you should remember if you forget everything else that I say today. And if you're taking notes, I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. Come out for Jesus because he came out for you. That's the reason. The bottom line is the cross, what he did for you. Right now, we're going to witness two people saying, I do, for Jesus, as they profess their allegiance to him publicly in baptism.